Welcome to Surthrival, the podcast about befriending grief. I'm Stacia Gaines, your host, and I am excited today to have with me my producer, Clarissa Kenty, my friend, my sister, and the owner of ICU Media. Welcome, Clarissa.
Hello to the Surthrival family. I'm so glad to be here.
So Clarissa was really, she was really important in this. We went to South Africa together.
Yes.
And we went as strangers, but we came back as sisters.
We did. You know, the funny thing about it is I say, yeah, you know, Stacia and I slept together for 3 weeks. I was like, that doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. But like, we talked about this podcast possibility, yes, in South Africa, and yeah, Clarissa really encouraged me and said, not only can you do this, Stacia, mm-hmm, but there's a real need out there,
yeah,
for what you have to say and for what the Lord has taught you. So I feel so confident being in her hands. She's a wonderful communicator, and so I'm thrilled to be doing this with her.
Stacia, you really make it easy. The only thing we do here at ICU Media, we just do the heavy lifting. You bring the content, you bring the story, and I believe that your story is going to impact so many people, because people grieve in so many different ways and in different categories of grief. And your story, it amazed me when I first heard it in South Africa. And it really changed my life, even from the time that my dad passed 10, 12 years ago now, still seems like yesterday. But just in hearing the steps and what, you know, grief is all about, learning that from you and how you were able to get through what you got through, it's just amazing. And so many people out there, men, women, children, who are going through grief right now, and I believe that your story is really going to change and impact so many lives.
I hope so, Clarissa. That's really my goal. Mm-hmm. From the very early days after my husband died, the Lord told me very clearly that I was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. A matter of fact, "It Is Well With My Soul" became, yeah, my theme song. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to the beach next week, and I'm going right back to the place where I was when the Lord gave me the term Surthrival.
Wow.
If you remember, mm-hmm, I was telling a friend, I'm not just going to survive, I'm going to thrive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, Surthrival. And so from there on, I just wrote down all the different things, mm-hmm, that I did, mm-hmm, to Surthrive. And most of them, the Lord gave me a download.
Wow.
And so I really lean in. You know, as you said, grief is hard.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
It's hard work, and you don't just run past it. You gotta slog through, yeah, the muck and the mess.
Yes.
And become a student, mm-hmm, of grief. You were mentioning before we started about how, like, when you were going to be a new mom, how you studied being a mom.
Oh, Stacia. I mean, you know, I'm not really an OCD person. I'm a selective OCD.
OCD.
So I just,
yeah,
decide what I'm OCD in. But I just believe knowledge is power. And it gives you that edge when you understand what you're about to embark upon or what you're dealing with currently. And so when I became a new mom, I went to every class, every lactation course on breastfeeding and Lamaze classes, you name it. I was in there, and I had to drag my husband right on in there with him, whether he liked it or not. And so,
come on, Ernest.
That's right. Get on in here. And he was the best coach ever, I got to say. And I think that in part is because of the knowledge we received by studying it out. And so, but everybody is really not equipped to be able to do that self deep dive. And that's why Surthrival podcast is so important. You're going to be there for those people who don't have it in their wheelhouse. They,
right,
just don't know how to go or don't have the strength.
Yeah, that happens
to
sometimes.
Go and get that information to get pulled out of a hole. You know, when you're dealing with grief, it's like, I remember when my dad passed, I felt like I was in a hole. And I felt like every time I tried to kind of pop up, dirt was dropped in it, and it just pushed me back down. And so, of course, that's perspective. And so I believe with your podcast and what you're sharing, you're teaching us that, hey, even though dirt is coming in that hole, step on top of the dirt and eventually you'll get out of the hole. And so that's what I believe, you know, Sir Thrival is doing. Is helping us, is giving us, is throwing us that that life ring, is throwing it out there to us because we're out in the deep, and it's, you know, slowly pulling us back in. And that's what I love about this. And, you know, people are thinking, well, you know, she's Sir Thriving, and, you know, she's the podcast guru. It's easy for her. But if you missed that first episode that you did, if you're listening today and you missed the first episode, go back. Because, Stacia, you shared some information on how God led you in some paths leading up to the death of your husband, and how God had you doing some things intentionally. And when you shared that story, it gave me even a better understanding how you're able to thrive, because God prepped you.
He totally prepped me,
prepped you. You have to have a relationship with God. And so that's why I'm so excited about what you're doing and what you're talking about today. You know, you did a deep dive on the background, why you're here, how you got to where you are. And so, you know, sometimes we think we know what the word grief means and we know what those steps are, but we have no idea, you know, and what we think it is so far from the truth. And so I'm excited about these steps today. I'm excited about these phases that you're sharing with us, so that if you're going through grief right now, you'll say, oh, yeah, Stacia said that on the podcast. Oh, yeah, I'm going through that right now. You know, I'm not crazy. I'm not by myself. I'm not the only one. So I'm really looking forward to this podcast
today. Yeah, me too. I'll admit, Clarissa, this was kind of a hard one for me, because you, as my producer, you said you need to define grief. And I was like, define grief? Like, so I went to Webster's, you know, and I was like, okay, that's kind of robotic. And I went to the American Psychological Association, and you know, it was a good definition, but a friend of mine who is also suffering grief, she said, you know, really, grief is super personal. So you need to ask your listeners, what does it look like for you?
What
does it look like for you? If you remember in the very first podcast, I quoted from a guy who said that grief is as unique as a fingerprint. Like, no two people are going to grieve alike. And also, Clarissa, the things that helped me and some of the things that I will share on the podcast may not help you or some other listener.
Right.
So my goal is always going to be that each listener can receive something that can help them.
Yeah, it's that sowing that seed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Even if it's just a baby step. I find that sometimes people who are grieving, because they don't know what to do, they get stuck.
Yeah. And
it's so easy.
It's easy. I tell people I healed backwards. Because when you said different stages, I was, because my training is ministry. So as a minister, we're trained to take our emotions and put them to the side in order to heal and minister to the family. And so that's what I had to do in order to thrive during that. I decided that I would put my ministerial hat on. I would take those emotions and push them so far away to where they don't interfere with ministry. And I did my dad's eulogy as well. And so I never cried until like a month or two afterwards. Never really tapped into that emotion, because at that point I needed to minister to my mom. I needed to minister to my cousins, my brothers, my uncles, my dad's family, immediate family, and to do what I felt he would want me to do. So when everyone else healed months later, that's when I started healing, because that's when I was able to allow myself to feel the rush of emotions.
Do you think that was the right thing for you?
Oh, no. No, I don't. No, because of the makeup of who I am.
Right.
And I'm glad you said something about the fingerprint. Because of the makeup of who I am, I'm an alpha female. So I know how to maneuver around my emotions.
Yeah.
But I had to get some assistance from another friend of mine who's a minister. She saw what was going on because I'm not one to communicate that. Mm-hmm. And she saw it. And so she started kind of meet with me. We were praying. We had prayer times. And she was able to kind of talk me through some things. And I was able to come out of that and really start healing.
Right.
Wouldn't recommend that for anyone. Okay. I wouldn't. I'm like, everybody else is healed and I'm going through.
But sometimes
trauma.
We do that in the beginning stages because we've got stuff to get done.
Right.
Like you had to preach his funeral and you had to be there for your family.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So I don't think there's any timeline for grief. Matter of fact, one of the disservices we do to grieving people is to say, well, you should be over it by now.
Right, right.
I can remember thinking that mm-hmm. in the past mm-hmm. when someone that I knew just seemed stuck. And I'm like, move on. You know, right. for your sake, move on. Right. And, you know, be careful because, you know, when you're in grief, you have to really listen to your own heart, your own mm-hmm. mind. Mm-hmm. And do things at your pace.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you talk about like those steps, what out of the list, because I think you have some steps you're going to discuss today, which one of these steps would you say was the first step that you hit during that time?
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. So when I was researching for the podcast, mm-hmm. I thought of those, you know, the stages of grief that
right.
everybody talks about, the stages of grief.
Right, right.
Matter of fact, I can remember my friend Kathy, who is still grieving, and she said, that just don't work for me. That just don't work for me. Mm-hmm. She was like, this is not what I'm feeling.
Right.
And so I think sometimes, and what she was talking about is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book called On Death and Dying. Mm-hmm. And she wrote these five stages of the person who's dying, what they're going through.
Wow.
And I think we have kind of adopted those and applied it to those who were left behind, to those who are grieving, and that's not what they were designed to do.
Right, right.
Those were denial, mm-hmm. anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Mm. But again, this is for the person that is dying.
Right. And you never think about them going through that process.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And she wrote those steps because she found that others around them were kind of whitewashing things,
right, right.
not allowing them to talk about their feelings and how they felt about death. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So that's really why she wrote it. But I think we've applied it to those of us who are left behind, those of us who grieve the loss of someone. Right. And that wasn't her purpose.
Yeah.
So here's what I found last night when I was doing some more research. There were some British psychiatrists who wrote about the four phases of grief.
Uh-huh.
And that's for those of us who are left behind and are grieving. And you asked me something this morning that I thought was interesting. You're like, do you think you can grieve before the person actually dies?
Yeah.
And I think it depends. Mm-hmm. I think you definitely can.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about grieving your dad's death.
Yes.
Before he actually passed
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rough, Stacia. I, because my dad was a man's man, definitely an alpha male, hence me being an alpha female. But he was a go-getter, life of the party,
mm-hmm.
Very forward-thinking, engaged at all times. And when his illness came upon him and he went past that threshold where he normally bounces back, I didn't see him bounce back.
Yeah.
And I saw him giving up.
Mm.
And so he's never been one to give up on anything. And he raised us the same way.
Did you feel disappointed in him for giving up at the time?
I was. I was upset when he passed because I knew he gave up. And how could you do that to
yeah.
me? How could you do that to me?
Oh, I totally feel that with the death of my husband being yes. a suicide.
Yes, yes.
Like, he abandoned me is how
right.
I felt.
That's how I felt.
He chose to leave me.
Yep, yep. I felt the same way. I don't know. I talked to him an hour before he passed, and we talked about contracts and I was working on it. I wanted him to look at those when I came home because I was scheduled to go home and take care of him help my mom that following week. And we talked about everything, and we talked 3 and 4 times a day, literally. I'm the only girl in the firstborn and the namesake, so do the math. But he said, yeah, he said, okay. He said, I want to see that. And I said, okay, well, I love you. He said, I love you too. And I said, well, I'll see you next week. He never responded. Because in my mind, I knew he knew that he was leaving and he would not see me next week. So that conversation still rings out in my head today.
Yeah.
And, but I've gotten to a point to where I've released him from that, because I'm thinking, we talk about everything. Every decision, we talked about everything. You knew you were leaving and you said nothing.
Yeah.
You could have at least told me.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, that, and I know that sounds so selfish and in like, what kind of thinking? But that was just, you know, I tell everybody, my mom doesn't know this, but I was my dad's first love. Because I'm a daddy's girl. He loved me first, but I don't tell my mom that. But that's just, you know, the way we were. And so it took me a while to even get over that, you know.
And did you feel some guilt for being mad at him for the natural, you know, act of death? Did you ever feel any guilt about that?
Not at the beginning. Not at all. Because I'm thinking, really? I mean, how could you even give up? You should still be here by now. We have things to do. You know, I'm on the upline. How can you leave? And I haven't even tapped into who I'm supposed to be, and you're supposed to be here to see this.
Yeah.
How can you do this?
You know, I'm really glad that you were able to articulate that, because, as you know, one of my survival tips is feel the feels.
Yeah. I had a
lot
of them.
And I just encourage those who are grieving, whatever you feel, that is okay. Mm-hmm. Just find a place to express those, whether you go out and, you know, throw eggs on a tree if you're mad, or scream in your car. You know, right? There was a time when I got really angry at Matt. And I can remember being in my car, stopped at a red light, screaming so loud that I think I hurt my hearing. And just beating on the steering wheel and crying so hard I could barely breathe. And I just want to encourage listeners, you feel what you feel. Your feelings are, they're coming from deep within you. And if you decide to put them aside, as you did early, then they're not going anywhere. They're just going to bubble up inside you and probably come out later in ways that are not healthy.
Oh, it will. Yeah, it's definitely not. It's just pushed down.
That's right.
But it's not pushed out.
Yeah, you don't push them out.
Mm-mm. So, you know, and I'm interested because of the phases that you mentioned. What phase is that? You know, where was I in that phase? Because immediately I felt numb. I went straight into, hey, okay, I got to get some things done. Because my mom was calling. She said, he's not doing well this morning. He's a little different. She said, I think he's passing. I said, well, call the nurse. Blah, blah, blah. She called me back. She said, yeah, he's gone. I said, well, okay. You know, what time is the nurse coming? I went straight into. So was that a phase of denial, or was that a phase
I think
of,
that might be more shock and numbness.
Numb. That's how I felt.
Shock and numbness. Okay. And I think this is really, really maybe the most common. Maybe if you were sitting at the bedside and you saw him pass, maybe you wouldn't have felt that as much. But I certainly felt that when Matt died, you know, because he took his own life. I learned of his death when the sheriff knocked on the door. You know, the sheriff's deputy knocked on the door, and just the feeling of disbelief, like, this couldn't have happened. This can't be my life. Mm-hmm. What? I'm a widow? Like, there's just this shock. And you know what? I think God designed our bodies to have shock to protect us. You know, when you get news like that, if you were truly able to take it all in at once, you might just crumble into 10 million pieces.
Yeah, it's kind of like a rush of all kinds of emotions, angry, mad, disappointed, shocked, you know, just questions, why, you know, all coming in at one time.
Yeah, except in the very early stages, though, I didn't have any of those questions. It was just like, kind of like, are you serious? This wow. actually happened.
So your phase was shock.
Yeah, initially. Shock,
okay.
Yeah, shock and numbness, which does allow people to go into all the things of getting things done. You know, right. the calling the funeral home. You know,
that was
all those things. So I think our bodies do that so that we can take care of business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, that initial phase is kind of a kindness.
But you know, oh, that's cute. I like that.
Yeah.
Like what you say. And it was to me.
Yeah.
It was very kind. You know, and I think about the thumbprint that you mentioned earlier, because some people, I know of people who just would faint. They go into depression immediately, have to take medications immediately. They're not able to, okay, so now let me get into this mode so I can get this done. They can't. They're not able to.
Yeah.
There are people now, 20 years later, every time the birthday comes, they crumble. They don't talk to people. They go in a hole. They stay in the bed all day. They are just still in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So what phase is that? So you got you have the phase, because you have many. How many phases do you have?
There are four phases according to the psychiatrist.
So the numbness and the shock, which probably was what I felt.
Right.
What would be the other one that's more of a depression type?
I think maybe stage 2 and 3. Mm. Stage 2 is yearning and searching. This is where you feel all the feels, like usually sadness, anger, depression, anxiety, sometimes even confusion. Or do you know how, like with your dad, like after he died, you would like pick up the phone to call him to talk to him about something, and you're like, oh wait, he's gone.
I still do that.
You still do that?
Yeah.
How long ago has that been?
The Africa trip.
Wow.
Because that was huge for me.
Yeah.
And any huge milestones, I'm like, yeah. Oh, man, I could tell.
And then you can't.
Yeah. It's just habit.
I think one of the things that you could be talking about, and this was a term that I have been misusing that I just discovered, and it's a pretty recent term. It's called complicated grief. And complicated grief is what happens when you can't move forward. You just get stuck in a phase of grief. And there are people that really do get stuck. And those are part of the people I really want to help on this podcast. Just, I feel like if you take one baby step, then you're not stuck anymore. And then you feel empowered and encouraged to take another baby step. I also can't say enough about, it's maybe particularly in traumatic grief or complicated grief, the need to seek professional help.
Right.
I have been in therapy for more than a year, and I literally say that my therapist has saved my life. I was already processing stuff before Matt died, and I was emotionally and psychologically as sound as I've ever been.
Right.
And so I think sometimes you just, I know sometimes people feel a way about a therapist.
Yeah,
they feel like
stigma out there.
Yeah,
about
there
it.
Is. Yeah. Like, yeah. I should be able to figure this on my own.
Right.
Maybe particularly with Jesus followers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they think, well, I'm a Christian. I know the person is in heaven. I shouldn't right. feel this way.
Right.
But that's just not true. A trained therapist that's a good fit for you just kind of helps you sort out your feelings and put them out there on the table. They can help you push back a little bit when you say something that's not true. So, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor, and this podcast is not designed to be therapy.
Right.
This is one mourner, one lamenter trying to help others on the journey. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about.
Well, Stacia, in those stages, because you had mentioned three stages, I think, and it's the numbness and the shock, and then you have, what was the
yearning and
yearning.
Searching.
And then the third one was?
The third one is disorganization and despair.
So in these stages, when would you say it's time to say, okay, I may need to get with a therapist on this now?
I think it's as individual as a person's fingerprint.
Got it.
I think you need to be prepared to talk and to face the grief. So, but I for me, it was immediate, and I was already seeing somebody.
Right.
With that disorganization and despair phase two, this is where you have, you know, you're no longer in shock. You've accepted it, that it's happened. But this is where somebody's feelings may turn to apathy, additional anger, even despair or hopelessness. And if any of my listeners are in that phase, please find a professional to help you work through this.
And that's the fourth stage?
Yeah, that's the third stage, actually. Okay. Yeah. The fourth stage is reorganization and recovery. And you notice it doesn't say, like, everything is hunky-dory.
Right,
you're
going
to be all right. Everything, you know, and they lived happily ever after.
Right, right.
You never, I don't think you're ever really through the grieving.
Right.
But you lean into healing. You accept. You kind of look at the new state of normal. You might even find things that make you happy. Like I have found in my case, I'm actually enjoying living alone. I mean, for the first time in my whole life, I'm living alone with my doodle.
Right.
Shout out Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I get to choose what I do every day.
Right.
And there's beauty in that. I'm really enjoying that. I miss my husband terribly. I still cry frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also learned that there are beautiful things about this stage of my life.
Right. I remember my pastor that trained me in ministry, Dr. Michael Moore. I remember my dad passed, and he was talking to my mom. He said, "Miss Lester, you know, it's going to be difficult for you to get used to this transition in your life." He said, "But what's going to help you is that don't try to go back to the way life used to be
right
when your husband was here. There has come a time in your life that you have to get used to a new norm."
Yeah.
"The depression will come when you're trying to recoup what you've lost."
Right.
"You have to settle into what's new and embrace the new norm in your life." And so it sounds like that's what you've done. You've embraced the new norm in your life.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, living alone, having a little more independency, doing kind of moving a little bit different. And it's just not, this is necessarily better. It's just different.
Right.
And
right.
You've embraced that. I love it.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, having an attitude of gratitude,
mm-hmm.
that's really key. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard work. So I would say, listener, if you are in one of these stages and you maybe feel stuck in that stage,
mm-hmm.
please reach out. Reach out to a counselor, reach out to a pastor, reach out to a friend who can give you wise counsel,
mm-hmm.
but don't stay stuck. Don't pull away, because grief will hang out with you mm-hmm. as long as you let it.
Yeah, it will. And you know, you mentioned those stages. If you can mention those stages again, just so they can kind of
okay.
Hold on to it there.
The first stage is shock and numbness. This is when you just can't believe it's happened.
Right.
The second stage is yearning and searching. This is where you just feel that emptiness from the death, and you're just, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
The third phase, and Clarissa, let me point out before these don't have to be in this order. So mm-hmm. it's not like, okay, this happens, and then
right.
this happens, and
right.
this happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. So number two, yearning and searching. Number three, disorganization and despair.
Mm-hmm.
This might be where you are at your lowest point. You've accepted it, and now you're like, well, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
So that despondency, that
right.
despair, that mm-hmm. sometimes hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last stage is the reorganization and recovery. This is when you maybe find that you have new energy. You've accepted that this is your lot,
mm-hmm.
and then you find ways and find the good things about whatever phase of life that mm-hmm. this has left you in.
Wow. So I like the fact that these phases, you talk about those three top phases, of things that you're possibly going through. But then that fourth days gives you hope and restoration. Mm-hmm. So I really love that. And I believe that those listeners that are listening here today, make sure that you reach out to a friend, those people that you know. It doesn't have to be depression or grief from a loved one. It can be anything that you've
lost.
It can be your marriage. It can be anything, your
loss of a job.
It can be
your kids moving out of the house, empty nest syndrome.
Yes,
there's lots of ways that grief attacks us.
Yes, so I'm telling you, Sir Thrival Podcast is the way to go. She shared so much here today, Station. I'm so glad to be on the podcast with you.
I'm so thankful that you were here.
Yeah, but I just invite everyone, please go out and subscribe to this podcast channel and take the link and share it with your network of friends. Take this link and just text it to your friends, people that you know are going through something. Go ahead and get that out to them, because I believe, yes, counseling is there, but I believe listening to Sir Thrival every other week is going to be the way that can help anyone get through the stages that you just mentioned so that they can too thrive. What an amazing podcast today.
Great. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you and hear you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me, Stacia.
Bye-bye. Thank you.